Today we're visiting with Paul Overton once again to talk about assessments and values and things. First of all, Boone County Assessor Paul Overton joins us. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Jim. Good morning.
Last time we visited, we talked about assessments were coming, and you said you did the warning people because of the sales that occurred in 2022. We were going to have increases in pretty much every, in all our property categories.
That is correct, yes.
And yes, we did. And again, still came as a shock to some people. But
it came as a shock. Actually, it came as a shock to me, quite frankly. I'm surprised that the market was as strong as it was coming out of COVID.
Yeah. And it was, because the numbers are right there. So the one thing we did talk about is that comes out. Now we are into what we call appeal time. And it's a short window. It's a small window, a tight window. People, if you're thinking about appealing your assessment, there's a proper way to do it. Instead of just yelling at somebody, there's a proper way. And you guys have on your website, you've got it all laid out there, the law, and here's what you need to do and the kind of things you need to collect.
Yeah, the shortness of time is certainly on the application or presenting your initial appeal to the assessor's office. I would say that the window for the Board of Review as far as the time to respond to the appeal is much longer than what the informal appeal is. I don't know if we talked about the informal versus the Board of Review the last time we chatted or not.
Well, we didn't touch a lot on that, but okay. There is let's go first with the informal appeal process. And this is basically just coming to the assessor with some information, evidence that you've collected.
Yeah, that's correct. Under both scenarios, the informal appeal process and the Board of Review, the foundation is the same. We attempt to get inside of the home to make sure. The basis of our assessments start with a correct listing. So the assessor's office, we want to make sure that the listing is correct, the number of bathrooms, the condition of the house as a whole, if there's basement finish, if there's not basement finish in the home, make sure that those listings do match what our record shows, because that listing drives what the value of the property is, based upon its location in the county. So whether it be an informal appeal or a Board of Review appeal, we do request that the assessor have the access to the inside of the home to make sure that the listing is correct. With respect to the informal appeal, once the interior inspection is completed, staff will make contact with the owner and make an appointment time with myself to go over the assessment. Folks can bring in their comparables if they have some. If they have issues as far as their listing is concerned, they can discuss that. We do provide a copy of the listing for the property owners when they come in for their time to chat with me. Sometimes people just want to have the ability just to talk and understand better what happened, why it happened, and what is the effect is going to be on ultimately their property tax bill. I find that to be more the case more times than not, that they're concerned more about their property taxes than they are their property assessment. And the assessor has very little to do with the taxes themselves outside of setting the foundation. The assessment is the foundation for taxation, and that is what the assessor's sole job is to place the value on the property. But that window to meet with the assessor through the informal appeal process, it ends April the 25th. We can take applications for that up to April the 25th, but by the time the 25th rolls around, there have been a lot of folks who have already been into the office, started the process, the guys have been out, the appraisers have been out looking at the properties, and been put into the queue, so to speak. As far as timing is concerned, there's only so many hours a day that I can meet with folks. I start at 10 o'clock and meet every 20 minutes with individuals, in my office, discussing their values, discussing assessments in general, whatever the case may be, as far as a particular person is concerned.
You've already been meeting with people.
Yes, I have. I started meeting actually on Tuesday. I met with, I think I met with nine yesterday. Meeting, I don't know how many I have today. At least my morning, I'm sure, is booked after I get done with our interview today. And then we'll see how the rest of the day plays out. Tomorrow morning is booked with folks coming in. And I'm meeting with people from 10 o'clock until 4:40 is my last appointment time. Okay.
And we do have, again, part of this requires that your staff needs to get out and take a look at this and double check things.
That's correct, yes. And we find, staff does find, we did a an urban review here in Boone. Mm-hmm. Actually, we just completed the entire county this past year with finishing up in the city of Boone, going house to house, attempting to go inside the home to check the conditions to make sure that we had everything listed correctly. We didn't have the best luck of doing that, you know, both folks being not being home and other folks just not willing to let the assessor come in, which we understand that. So there are things that are found, and once we find and make those corrections, those values do come down. However, there are several instances this year where we've been out, we've looked at the property, and there are things that, since we were there the last time, say that was 4 or 6 years ago, they made improvements to the property that we did not have listed. Mm-hmm. And those values are actually going up, which I'm not raising those values when they come in this year. We will put them in to, as an increase for the 2024 assessment. So the assessment values can actually go up rather than just go down because the assessor comes and takes a look at the property.
So that's the informal part. Yes. So they still have time. They could do the petition, but I'm guessing, do you get filled up at a point, and then what happens afterwards? Are they out of luck?
Those ones, if they come in too late and we get filled up, we push those over to the Board of Review.
Okay.
We make those requests, those informal requests, which unfortunately people are not happy with. They would rather meet with the assessor a lot of times. But just by virtue of volume, there's no way that there's only so many hours in a day. And I try to accommodate as best I can, you know, individuals coming in to talk to me. The board has a much longer period of time that they can talk with homeowners, and their schedule is not as crammed or as tight as what the informal process is.
But they do keep busy.
They do keep busy, yes.
So, and I'm guessing already you have some that have filed the formal appeal as well.
I don't know the exact number. Last I heard, we had less than 10 at this point.
Okay.
And I do know that there was a couple that left my office who said that they weren't satisfied with what I did with them, mm-hmm. and that they were going to go ahead and file a formal appeal as well. Now, the deadline to file the formal appeal by code is April 30th, but by virtue of the calendar this year, April 30th falls on a Sunday. So homeowners have until May the 1st this year to file a petition with the Board of mm-hmm. Review.
All right. And then how do they get comparables? How do they get information like that? Do they walk around their neighborhood and look or what?
Well, in this day and age, we primarily advise folks to look at Beacon. Mm-hmm. Beacon is a website that we house all of our information about the properties. Beacon has tools in it, in the website, that they can look at. It's already, I'll call it canned, and you can set the parameters of what you want to look at based on the search criteria that you select in Beacon. That's the best, most efficient way I can tell your audience to look and find the information they're needing.
You'd look at residential sales within so many miles of my property or whatever.
Well, you wouldn't want to look, if you're looking at a residential sale, you would not want to look at a sale in Boone and compare that to a sale in Ogden or Madrid.
Yeah, no, it's
you want to stay specific to the community because the assessments were based on sales in that specific community. I looked at sales in Boone to set the Boone values. I looked at sales in Madrid to set the Madrid values and Ogden for Ogden. I didn't look at any other community sales and compare those, with the exception of the small towns. Mm-hmm. The small towns of Berkeley, Beaver, Boxholm, Pilot Mound, there's so few sales in those communities that I lump those together. I kind of look at those as being, you know, similar in virtue and nature because of the size and proximity. Luther's the one holdout on that. Luther's a bit different, you know, because of its location, its proximity to Madrid, to Boone, to, you know, the Des Moines area, to, mm-hmm. to Ames. You know, it's not the same as, you know, Berkeley, Beaver,
sure.
Boxholm, Pilot Mound, Fraser. Can't leave Fraser out.
I know. Can't do that. And then there's the rural part. Rural part
Correct.
Of the county too, which
yes.
has its own thing. I think I did look because you had said there was over 400 actual residential sales.
That's correct. Yes,
I think Boone had about 250 or
yeah, about 254, 253 is what number of sales we had here in the town of Boone, or city of Boone, I should say. Which that's the line, honestly, out of 410, that's the lion's share. You know, but you got 5,000 parcels in Boone proper. So you'd expect the majority of the sales to come from the city of Boone.
Mm-hmm. it's one of those things. And people, well, they're going to believe what they want to believe, I'm sure. But once we do this, the appeal process, and I'm going to ask you, like, number-wise, because I've seen some of the other reports around the state on the informal side. We've seen some that have just had a huge increase in the numbers of appeals that they have. Ours sounds like you're pretty close, I guess. Maybe last time, did they have as many?
Well, so 2 years ago, so every 2 years, of course, we do reassessments. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that in those reassessment years, I handle around 100 individual informal appeals. I can't tell you what, you know, where we're going to end up at. Mm-hmm. I think time slots, if I recall right, I have like 18 time slots each day. Okay, so 18 times 5 is 85.
Yeah, all right. About 100 again.
So that's what I'm talking about. That's like next week. Mm-hmm. There's 85 time slots next week. Okay, there's 80. I wasn't 85 time slots this week because on Monday I was down in Maryville, Missouri, visiting my grandchildren. So I didn't meet with anybody on Monday. Yeah. And then the 24th and 25th, there's 36. So there's several time slots. And the problem with filling those up is the appraisers have got to have time to go out and look at the property, come back and do the write-up, you know, make the corrections on the listing, and then give them to our gal in the office who makes the phone calls and sets up the times for folks to come in and chat. So, but in the past, we've had about 100, 110 maybe is what I met with. And usually the beginning is slower. It fills up certainly, I'd say, next week. And then, of course, the last 2 days, it'll be full with folks coming in to talk.
Okay. What about for the formal? What kind of what numbers have we seen in the past there?
Well, Jason in my office, my deputy, Jason Sands, talks about in 2011, they had over 900 appeals. Of course, back then, they didn't have the informal process. And I found that with the informal process, that about 5% who meet with me will go ahead and refile with the Board of Review. So that's taking, if I have 100 people, that's taking 95 petitions away from the Board of Review that they don't have to, they don't have to listen to. And they have they don't meet quite as quite a fast pace as what I'm able to do, because it's just myself meeting with the property owners. Where that with them, it's a group of three people. They have to discuss the, you know, discuss the situation, discuss the property, have questions with the property owner. So it's a bit more lengthy of period of time, though it too is set for 20 minutes as far as the time with the property owner is concerned. So they try to stay on a schedule, and in the past it's been difficult to stay on schedules because, unfortunately, people, you know, they get to talking and they're passionate about their positions.
Sure.
So they've got more time to spread their meetings out. So I don't know, you know, time-wise. You know, the Board of Review can actually meet up until they can ask for an extension. By code, it's to end. It starts, the organizational day is May the 1st. Mm-hmm. Is when they organize. And technically, this year, the last day to file a petition is May the 1st. So we won't know on May the 1st how many petitions they're going to have, even when they meet to organize. They are, by code, to adjourn by May 30th. Okay. But if there's not enough time to hear, to make all the hearings, they do have the ability to request of the Director of Revenue an extension until they have time to meet with all the people. So, but the idea as far as how many we're going to have, I don't know with the Board of Review. I feel that the more folks I can meet with, of course, is going to lighten their load considerably. You know, if I meet with the 95, like I gave you the example of a minute ago, you know, that's 95 hearings that they won't have to have. You know, which saves, you know, saves time, saves money on the board side, and satisfies the property owner on the property owner side.
I'm going to venture to guess that a lot of people will say, well, you've already made up your mind. And that is not the case. If they bring in, or if you see evidence, numbers that just don't match up right, then, like you said, some actually have had to go up.
That's correct, yes. And my mind is not made up. However, it's fairly solid.
Well, we do know what the actual numbers for value have been.
Right.
And we know formula-wise, you have a parameter like within, what, 5%?
Yeah,
you try to be at 100%.
The goal is 100%. That's correct. And we do have that window of 5%, you know, either above or below, 95 to 105. And that is class-wise. So not just a property, but that's class-wise. So properties, unfortunately, just as a point to inform your listeners, since I sent the assessment notices out, and that was the basis of that was the values as a 1-1 of 2023. Of course, you know that the real estate market didn't stop December 31st of 2022. It continues into 2023. It's continuing yet today. There's sales occurring every day, basically. We had 73 sales. I calculated this a couple days ago. We had 73 sales in calendar year 2023. And comparing those 73 assessments to the sales price, the new assessment to the sales price, my median sales ratio on 73 sales is 99.59%.
So staying right.
So my revaluation tells me that what I did, if I was a teacher, And my goal was 100. Well, I didn't get an A, but I got a pretty close to an A.
Pretty close to 100%.
Yeah, within the first 3 months of the year. So I feel very confident as far as my assessments are concerned, and the appraisers are looking at what's out there as far as sales that are listed, or properties that are listed, and then sale pendings, and it looks like that this market, as strong as it was in 2022. And this is one of the things that folks are talking about. They come into me, they say, well, the market, it's gone down. Well, the only thing that's gone down, from my perspective, is the volume. And we talked about
the V's, the value and
value
the volume.
And volume. Yeah, the volume is down. That's probably a correct statement. You have to talk to a realtor to verify that. But that's what I'm seeing in my office. But the values, however, by evidence of my median ratio, the values are not. If the values were down, my median ratio would be over 100. Mm-hmm. But the values are not down. The values are close to where we have them assessed at. Again, on those 73 examples, it's not just not one sale does not make a market. We've got 73 examples to help set that. And of course, we're going to be above and below. It's not an exact or perfect science. But
we need to. Again, so that residents know, you're talking just Boone County numbers. So like Madrid residents, it's only Madrid sales, basically.
It's specifically Madrid. Yes, that is correct.
And Ogden within Ogden.
Yes.
And then the smaller communities you kind of pool together.
Correct. So. Correct.
That's a lot of numbers.
Numbers are fun, Jim.
Yeah, well.
if you're a numbers guy.
That's it. That's what an assessor has to do. You just follow the numbers. Now, some people claim, well, I haven't made any improvements or anything like that. That doesn't really it will have a bearing on it if they've made improvements, but not necessarily.
No, the market cares, of course, what you do to your home and how you take care of your home. That will certainly have a bearing as far as the value is concerned. But the market as a whole, and the premise there is that folks are going to keep their homes up. Okay, just normal maintenance is not considered if we were to look at property, like replacing a roof. Mm-hmm. You have to have a roof on your house. Now, you make a compared sale analysis, and a home that doesn't have needs a roof versus a home that just had a roof replaced, in an up market, they're both going to sell quickly. Mm-hmm. When the market becomes tighter, the home that's had the upkeep done to it most recently is going to sell before the home that needs the upkeep, because the buyer sees that as a hindrance to value to the purchase or a near-term future expense, and they're not going to be as willing to pay quite as much for that home that needs to have the new roof. However, if you don't put the roof on the house, it's going to deteriorate quickly once water infiltration begins.
Sure.
And so the assessor doesn't track like getting a new roof doesn't change the condition of the property. That's considered a normal maintenance item. But as far as keeping the home up, the premise there is that folks are going to keep their homes up. That's where, these folks who are on fixed incomes have come in and talked to me, and their home values have gone up. And unfortunately, the market doesn't care about the individual's ability to pay the tax. Mm-hmm. The market cares how the individual is taking care of the property. And folks, I've gotten emails saying that I'm not going to paint. I'm not going to put a roof on. This increase is uncalled for. That's an owner's right. There's a bundle of rights you have with ownership. I forget them off the top of my head, but one of those rights is do nothing.
Yeah.
You know, that's your right to do nothing. As long as you're satisfied with what your property is, that's your right. Now, whether you're, or not your neighbors, or the, if there's any codes with the city is concerned, if they're going to be satisfied with that, that's a different story. But certainly that is the owner's right to do nothing.
I was going to ask you one thing. I noticed taking a look at numbers in particular. The property, the lots, that's where it seemed like there definitely was an increase in the price of lots.
Yeah. What I did there was I reviewed. So unfortunately, with sales, when you buy and selling property, you only buy you buy it based on one number. A total.
Yep.
Okay. Unfortunately, for assessment purposes, the assessor has to put a land value and an improvement value to create the total. Mm-hmm. Well, the land values in the town of Boone, I did Ogden and Madrid 2 years, is it either 2 years or 4 years ago? I think it's 2 years ago. I revalued land in Ogden and Madrid. And the town of Boone, land values had not been changed, certainly since I've been the assessor, which has been now just short of 11 years. And I want to say that when it was done 11 years ago, they went back to values that were placed on lots in the 1996 or 7 revaluation. So the premise of the land value, and if keep in mind, I had been changing improvement values. I changed those in 17 and 19 and 21. I changed improvement values. Well, when values are changing, not just one part of the value changes. You know, the land values are changing at the same time.
Sure.
But from the assessor standpoint, I can either change one component or I can change both components. I could have put all the increase in the land value because Boone's values, because by virtue of our median sales ratio for the town of Boone, the values needed to go up, mm-hmm. period. As I did my analysis, I looked at the land-to-building ratio, and it's been my experience in the classes I've attended. They talk about either a 3-to-1 or a 4-to-1 land-to-building ratio, and I worked with that those numbers, and those numbers equated to a much larger increase in land value because prior to the revaluation, our land-to-building ratio was approaching a 1-to-8, 1-to-9 okay. relationship. And, of course, you know, 1 to 9 is 10% land value, 90% improvement value. And that's that land value is by that nature is too low. I looked at land values, and I arrived at a land-to-building ratio of about 1 to 5 or 1 to 6, like basically about a 15% land-to-building ratio. And in doing that, effectively what I had to do was double land values mm-hmm. in the town of Boone. At the same time, initially I hadn't changed building values, and by virtue of changing the building values, I was able to actually reduce the portion of the value that's attributed to the building by virtue of allotting that to the land itself, coming up with a new overall assessment for the properties.
Well, we are in the time where we can do the informal review and also the formal review. People need to apply. And you got all the information on the assessor's website.
Yes, we do. I also ask the folks when they get a chance to, I put a letter out there after the assessments were placed, I think middle of last week, trying to better explain because folks are not understanding that there's a factor that's going to be kicking in and going to be suppressing the increases in values, and that's the rollback. Mm-hmm. And I tried to go into that a little bit more in depth, and hopefully that helps folks understand that it's not just going to be a dollar for dollar. Their assessment's going up by 25, 30, 35, 40%. Their taxes are going to go up by 20, 25, 30, 40%. That's not the case. The rollback is going to kick in and suppress those increases in assessments. And by virtue of that, they're not going to pay. They're not going to have as much value.
Sure. The taxable value is actually
correct.
Less than the assessed value.
That's very true. It's currently the percentage right now is 54.6. I'm estimating that rollback to go to 46.25% percent, which is going to reduce greatly this increase that folks are seeing in their assessments.
So it's all part of the overall formula.
Part of the equation.
Listen, if property taxes were easy, everybody would make corrections or whatever. Anyway, but I do appreciate you taking time to let us know about the appeal process. People do have that opportunity, but should not delay.
That's correct.
Get yourself signed up. Get the petition in, I think.
Form. The petition, get that in. And the informal process, the petition deadline, again, is the 25th. The board review petition time frame is this year, May the 1st, by virtue of the 30th of April following on the on Sunday.
All right.
So the deadline for that is April the 1st, or I'm sorry, May the 1st,
May
for,
1st.
For the board review petition.
Paul Overton, Boone County Assessor, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for the invitation, Jim.